We'll start reading at verse number 1, 4th chapter, book of Acts. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. For it was now eventide, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful privilege of just being here in this place today. And Lord, reading the scriptures and hearing your word and hearing about the name of Jesus. I thank you so much for that this day. And I want to remind you, Lord, about the prayer request. A little Benjamin Wagner, I pray for him. God help him. Lord, healing from this flu. I pray for this dear lady who has cancer. And Father, I'm reminded even here, I'm reminded of Chuck and Lori and their families. They travel right after the services. I pray you'd protect them, take care of them. And Lord, all other needs this morning, I pray and ask you to bless. But Lord, this is a special time here around the Word of God. And we need your power. We need your wisdom. And I ask you, Father, please, please undertake this morning. Help it to be an attentive spirit here this morning, Father. Lord, as we listen and hear from the Word of God. And the Lord, that you be honored this morning above all other. And the Lord, that you just take this simple message and use it for your glory. Lord, that you would be honored and glorified. And Lord, if there's those here unsaved, that they'd be saved. They'd realize, Lord, that salvation is real, that you're real. And Father, that when you're saved, that Lord, you come into their hearts. And Lord, you do something special. You do a special work in them. And I want to thank you for that. Now this morning, we place all this in your hands, asking you, Lord, your will to be done. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, "His Name is Jesus." I thank the choir this morning. They sung about it. They talked about the beautiful name of Jesus. I'm so grateful for that. And we've got a portion of scripture here. We'll be coming back to a little later, the text I read to you. But it's about his name. It's about him this morning. And everything must be done through his name. Names are important. Did you know that? You know, I remember back. I remember when Don and I first had our children. I remember Lori was the first one. And it's an exciting time. It's a scary time. Or I thought it was. Scary. You look through that hospital window and they said, "That's yours." And you just kind of look things over and you say, "Are you kidding me? There's no way in the world that's mine." But it is. And you kind of get together, and the husband and the wife get together, mom and dad, and they talk about a name. I remember we talked about what we was going to name Lori. Her real name is Lorena Ann Ross. She's not a Ross any longer, but she's Lorena Ann. And Donna's aunt was named Lorena, and we kind of liked that name. And so we chose that name. It was a special name for us. And we called her, of course, Lori. That's the way you usually do. You name them one thing, then call them something else. But anyway, we call her Lori, but her name is Lorena Ann. And then Bobby come along, and we named him Robert, as I know, and Robert Lee Ross. Amen. My father's middle name was Lee, and we named my oldest son Robert after me, and my father's middle name was Lee, and so we named him Lee. And then come along Jerry. And Jerry come along, and we named his name was Gerald Lee. I don't know why we done another Lee. I really don't know why we done another Lee, but we did, Jerry. And we called him Jerry. Amen. And but I always thought it was neat. We didn't name him after him, but my best friend in school was called Gerald, spelled the same way, Gerald Clark. He was my best friend in school. And I don't think we really named him after him, but we chose the name Gerald Ross and named him that, you know. And then David come along. And I really can't remember how we chose the name David, but we named him David Eugene. And Donna's father is named Eugene. Middle name is Eugene. It's Marvin Eugene. And so we named him after her father and got the name David. They're very special times. You know, names are important. Now, if I'd been saved, I wasn't saved when all of our children was born. Donna and I was not saved. I've thought many times about that. If we'd been saved, what would we name them? Maybe Zacharias. Maybe Habakkuk. Amen. And we don't know what we would have named them. They're probably blessed that we wasn't saved first. I don't know for sure, but anyway, you know, names are important. Amen. Names are really important. I do wish I'd been saved when our children was born. I've thought of that many times. You can't go back. I hear people all the time saying, I wish I could go back. A dear lady, Mrs. Sister Betty Townsley. Where are you at, Betty? Sister Betty. There she is. We was talking Mrs. King yesterday. And Mrs. King, as I remember, she had 8 children. If I'm right on that, 8 children. And she said to Brother Don here and I, Don Raleigh here went with me yesterday, and she said to us, she said, I'd just give anything, if I could go back and raise my kids over again for the Lord and myself serve the Lord. She said, I'd just give anything. See, she didn't get saved till later on in life. And, you know, you wish you could go back, but you can't. You can't go back. I can't go back and be saved and have my children. I wish I could. I'd always like to. I like the idea. I hear people talk about it. They're saved, and they get their children come along, and they set them on their knee right after they're saved and tell them about Jesus. I think that'd been exciting. I think that's the way to do it. You say, that little baby don't know anything. Oh, yes, that little baby needs to hear the name of Jesus from the word get-go. Amen? Absolutely. But I wish, you know, you could go back, and I wish we could do that. But names are important. It's, you know, parents ought to think about that when they tag a person, you know, a child with a name they're going to have to live with for the rest of their life. Amen. And some of them, I don't know how they've lived with them. I mean, amen. But anyway, names are absolutely important. You remember when Zacharias was in the temple doing the work of the priest, and the angel of the Lord came in, talked to him in there in that temple. It was an exciting time. You read about that. He said, you're going to have a child. And he said, you're going to name him John. And, of course, Zacharias doubted. Man, he said, we're too old. We're stricken in years. We're too old. And it's because of that, God struck him dumb. And he couldn't speak. Until the child was born. And so the child was born. You know, Elizabeth had John. And we know him as John the Baptist. Amen. We call him John the Baptist. But Elizabeth had John. And they came 8 days later for the circumcision. And they got together, and the family was there, and the people was there, and they all gathered and said, we're going to call him Zacharias. And Elizabeth said, no, we're not going to call him Zacharias. Zacharias couldn't speak. And they turned to the daddy and said, oh, he said, there's nobody in your lineage called John. He said, we're going to name him Zacharias. And he took a writing tablet, and he said, his name is John. Why? Because God named him. God named him. See what I'm simply saying to you? Names are important. And 6 months later, the greatest birth that has ever taken place took place. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. I want to take you over to the book of Luke for just a few moments. The first chapter, you see, on Christmas morning, you always turn to chapter 2 of Luke. You always do that, you know, and I thought I'd surprise you this morning, take you to Acts, the fourth chapter. Amen. But I'm going to go back here to Luke, the first chapter, and I want to read a little bit of scripture from the 26th verse of the first chapter of the book of Luke, okay? It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he said, And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, God said through the angel, he said his name shall be Jesus. Going to call him Jesus, that means Savior. He's Savior. He saved his people from their sins. You're here this morning. You know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your personal Savior. You're saved from your sins. He's the Savior. Now, there's been a lot of saviors like Joshua. The word named Joshua means Savior. There's all kinds of people who's been in leadership positions who's been saviors of a nation. Joshua led people into the Promised Land. And yes, he was a blessing to Israel. But there's never been a Savior like Jesus. He saves us from our sins. He is the Savior. He's not just a Savior. He's the Savior. Amen. The Son of God, you see. And I want to take you over for a few moments here, just for a few moments, over to the book of Acts, the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. You know, the name of Jesus is something that's, you can't describe it. Who really Jesus is. You can tell he's the Son of God. You can tell he's God the Son. You can say all these things, but there's no name like the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Now I want to show you over in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, the 25th verse. It says, And seemeth good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, people down through the years have given up their lives for this name. His name is Jesus. And I mean they've given their lives for it. They've hazarded their lives for this blessed name. I take a little magazine. I don't know whether any of you take it or not, but I've taken it for quite a time. It's called The Voice of Martyrs. I don't know whether any of you take that or not, but that's Richard Wormbrand, which years ago, you remember him. He was way back there. He was suffered horrible persecution and beatings, was in prison for years and years and years, persecuted, beaten for the Lord. He started a organization called the Voice of the Martyrs. And I take that and read it and cry when I read it. And it's just amazing what's going on across this world. That people are hazarding their lives for Jesus Christ. Can you see that picture? You see that? That man's arm is handcuffed here, and the other one is up like this, and he's handcuffed together. and they stood and they'd yank on his arms for hours. And why, Brother Ross? What did he do wrong? Well, he was a believer in Christ. And he worshiped not in the state church in China. He worshiped in what's known as the house church. That's all his crime was. Are you hearing me? What? For the blessed name of Jesus. The people who took these photographs, the man who took these photographs is in hiding. He took them and promised them that they would be given to the authorities to use as propaganda material. He took them and got them to the outside world to show what was happening in China. I'm talking about, this is not years and years ago, this is now. I don't know where you can see it, you probably can't. There's a soldier here with an electric prod that's taking this dear Christian sister in Christ and jamming it against her cheek and electrically shocking her. And torturing in all kinds of ways. When she's being tortured like that, she's kneeling on two rocks, bricks. Take that electric prod and they prod her cheek and in her mouth even. What for? She's a believer and worshiping in the house church. Sister Maul, they'll call her Maul, it's her house church, she has a church in her house, says dozens of church members were arrested at the same time and beaten with clubs, jolted with cattle prods, burned with cigarettes, and when they fainted, buckets of water were poured on them to revive them. Interrogators stomped on the fingers of male prisoners and stripped off the clothes of the young women prisoners and abused them. Mrs. Maul said, "They used electrical prods on me, all over me, trying to humiliate." Now listen, she was near death and she did die from her beatings. She was near death and says, even though they used the beatings and the electrical shocks, even when she was close to death, she refused to disclose the names of members of her congregation or sign a statement renouncing her Christian faith. For the name of Jesus. Amen. The physical abuse was almost unbearable. The mental torture was even worse. Throughout the ordeal, Maul, they call her, could hear the sounds of her son being tormented in the next room. They could hear each other's screams. And it said this was additional incentives to betray their friends and their faith. Recalling this, Maul began to sob. "They wanted me to hear my son's cries," she said, "and it broke my heart." She was finally beaten to death while in custody. This kind of treatment has been common in China for more than half a century. Citizens whose only crime is worshiping God are burned with cigarettes, beaten with clubs, and martyred for the faith. This lady here, she was kneeling on bricks, and the officer here would take his feet and stand on her feet and twist her feet. And she would scream, so he took a cloth, a dirty cloth, and stuffed it in her mouth. You know, this book here, I mean, this here is full of stories like that. This one lady who published a underground Christian paper was arrested, put in jail. They wouldn't even give her a Bible, and they work her 15 hours every day. Hard labor every single day because she published a Christian paper. They took one man as they laid him on his back, and they forced water into his stomach. There's a picture of it in here. They took like a 2-liter bottle, full of water, and they just opened his mouth and made it go down into his stomach and forced it into his stomach. There's a little boy by the name of William. William had been saved. His family, this was in Sudan. William had been saved and his whole family saved, and had come out of the Muslim religion, accepted Christ as a personal Savior. And this little boy, he was 10 years old when this happened. They came one day to arrest the whole family. What for? Being Christian, worshiping the true God, turning from the Muslim faith. They came with their guns, and they began to run. The daddy grabbed the little girl, the youngest, the little girl, and began to run and hollered at the rest of them, "Please run, run as fast as you can." And they told him if they didn't stop, they was going to shoot them. And so anyway, they finally stopped, and they tied the daddy and the little girl together and shot them. The little boy, William, they took him, 10 years old, and threw him in a river. Struggling, he couldn't even swim. The mother was being beaten, and she got away from her captives and went run to the river and dragged him out of the river. One time, they threw him back in. She got loose again, went and got him again. And there was a man that intervened that was in there, an old grandpa type guy. He said, "There's no use killing them. If they want to stick with the Christian faith, let them stick. They're just not going to publish it." So they let little William live. Finally, he escaped and is now spreading the word of God. Showed a picture of where he was hitting by this slave master that he had with a broad axe, not the sharp edge, but the blunt edge of a broad axe on his head, beaten over and over and over. And he would not recant. Little 10-year-old. Anybody 10 years old in here? I know they may be out in the 10-year-old boy believed in Christ, and he said, he made the statement, "All I want is Jesus. All I want is Jesus." I read those things and I think about it, and I look on my life and I said, I wonder what last week I done for Jesus. I'm free to do it. I won't be beaten if I preach the name of Jesus. And I wonder about the rest of us. I just wonder, what did we do last week for him? Maybe we went and bought some Christmas presents. That's good. And never passed out a tract. I'm glad we're free. I'm thankful we're free. But folks, you know what we go through week after week and never testify to the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We don't give him that much time of our time in a week. And these people are dying for his name. You ought to read the stories of Sudan. They're being slaughtered by the hundreds, sometimes of thousands, over a period of time. Millions have given their life in Sudan for Christ. It's happening every day. It's probably happening right here as we speak. And yet we're so worried about what we have, what we're going to get, what we're going to do, what our schedule is, that we don't even have time to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, folks, these are not stories of the centuries past. These are stories of today. Happening right now in China. The persecution that's going on in China is almost unbelievable. But you know what's happening? The house churches are growing because of persecution. One preacher over there said, "Persecution is good for us." And you know what? It's what America needs. It's not what America wants. I'm not crying out to God for it, but I'm going to tell you right now, America will never change until there's some persecution. You go back into the 3rd century and you watch that thing back in the 3rd century and you find out great persecution because the emperor of Rome turned against Christianity in a real way. began to persecute, began to kill them and slay them. And some stood for the faith, and others recanted their faith to save their life. What would we do? What would we do for the name of Jesus when we can't even live for him now? What would we do when the smallest thing keeps us from serving God? The wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. People have died for that name down through the centuries. Multitudes have given their life, and many have been maimed and hurt and beat for that name. The name of Jesus. Amen. You see, said they'd hazard their lives. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because of his name. People have been stoned. People have been burnt. People have been imprisoned. Men have been tortured. Missionaries have given up their lives. What for? The name of Jesus. To them, it's worth it. It means more than life. The wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me over to the book of Philippians, please. I want to share a few things about this one called Jesus. Philippians, the second chapter, please. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When it talks about the form of God there, he's not talking about a shape or a size. He's talking about the divine attributes of God Almighty. Jesus was God. Is God. And look what he done. Verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Folks, he laid aside his glory. Remember, he was God. He is God. But he laid aside his glory and took upon him the form of a servant. I thought about that and I said to myself, that's exactly what he asked for us to do. No, not like he did, but to become servants. To become servants for him. To give our lives to him and for the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, they didn't even recognize who he was. He came to this earth, and I'm going to say many of them did not even recognize. I remember back when I started work at Anaconda Aluminum Company. I started there when I was 19 years of age. Over at Terre Haute, and it's called Alcoa, I believe now. Am I right on that? Alcoa, I believe it is now. It used to be Anaconda. I started there. And probably about a year later, I was working in what we call the remelt division of Anaconda, working back in where the furnaces were and where they melted the metal and all those things. Some of you that worked there, Brother Dave worked there, Brother Dallas worked there, they know what we're talking about. But the remelt division. And I was back there, and I was driving a fork truck, and we was taking those big long hose, they call them, and skimming the furnaces with a dross and bringing it out into a dross pan. And then I would get on a fork truck, and I would take it out over and weigh it, and then take it out to the building, outside building. It was hot, and it would dump it out there in the dross shed. Well, before I got done inside weighing, there was a man came up, and he had bib overhauls on. And he had one of these old, I'm not talking about a ball cap. He had one of the rim hats, but it was just an old hat. Bibbed overhauls and had his glasses on. And I had the slightest idea who he was. And he came up and he said, I want to shake your hand. It was this time of year, it was around Christmas. And he was out wishing us a Merry Christmas. He said, my name is Luke Bassett. I still remember his name, Luke Bassett. I'm the plant manager. And he shook my hand. wish me a happy Christmas, Merry Christmas. I got on my fork truck and after a bit and went on outside out there, and he'd made his way out that way, and he stopped me again. He said, "My name is Luke Bassett." He didn't know who it was. He didn't know it or see, we was all used uniforms, work uniforms, and he didn't recognize me again. And so he stopped me out there. I didn't say a word. I shook his hand, thanked him again. But I didn't know who the man was. The only time I'd ever seen Luke Bassett, he had come through the plant once in a while, all dressed up, in a suit and dressed up fancy. He's the plant manager. Second time, he didn't know me. I thought about that a lot of times since I got saved, and I thought, I'll tell you what, I know somebody knows me. Jesus knows me. Amen. But I didn't recognize him. When Jesus come, there was a lot of folk didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. You see, they didn't know. He come preaching the wonderful gospel that he'd come to seek and to save that which was lost. I thought about that too, and I thought to myself, Jesus, the Son of God, that wonderful name. He's not a plant manager, he's the planet manager. He's the universe manager. He's all creation manager. He's the King of Kings. That's who he is, that wonderful Jesus. Took upon himself the form of a servant for you and I. Look at verse 8 in Philippians. He says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know this story. You understand. That's why many of you are here today, is because of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and took upon himself a body likened unto our body, yet without sin, and went to a cross and died for our sins, not his, ours, even to the point of death, dying there for us. And again, I had to look at it and I said, "Oh Jesus, I'm sure not worthy of that. And I don't think I'd do much to even show you how thankful I am that you went to the cross for me, for my sins." Humbled yourself. Him who had a name above all names. Look at verse 9. "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, the name of Jesus." There's no name like his name. I don't know how you feel this morning. I'm not going to try to ascertain how you feel. I don't know how you feel. But I want to tell you, every one of us in this place today ought to be humbled at what Jesus Christ did for us. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we're not giving our all, ourselves, to him for the glory of God. You know why? One of these days, verse 10 tells us, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Let me assure you, God says that every knee will bow in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. Every knee will bow. You remember the rich man and Lazarus, the story of that in Luke 16? You remember that story? That rich man who lived so sumptuously every day. His whole concern was not with God. His whole concern was what he had and had the money he could make. That was his whole desire. That was his whole life. One of these days, he will bow before the name of Jesus Christ. You remember Herod in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. It's a tremendous story. It's a short story. But remember Herod as he came to Tyre and Sidon, and there he talked to the people and gave a great orientation, the Bible said. And the people, of course, wanting to get on his good side, said, "Well, this is the voice of God. It's not the voice of man." The Bible says that the death angel smote him and killed him, and he was eaten of the worms. Why?
because he gave not God the glory. See, we go through this Christmas season, and a lot of times we don't even take time to give God Almighty the glory. Recognize what it's all about, who it's about, the name of Jesus. You know, there at the cross, before the cross, they accused Jesus Christ of casting out devils in the name of the devil. One of these days, those same people will stand in his presence and bow their knee. Those people for years who have said Jesus is only a man, he's like anybody else, will one day bow their knee before him and confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Think about those people back years ago. I probably dating myself a little bit, but you remember back when we was younger in our Christian faith, there was a movie called Superstar. You remember that, but most of you young folk don't remember that, but it was about Jesus Christ. There was another one called Godspell. There's movies out today depicting Jesus Christ as a sodomite. I want to tell you something. One day those people will bow before him and recognize who he is. The Son of God. The name of Jesus. They may think they're smart now. They may think they're getting by with it now. But they will bow. You remember Herod, as he tried to kill Jesus Christ right after his birth, killed all of those from 2 years old and younger, slew them there in the area of Bethlehem. He will bow. He will bow before Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. How about you? Had a man tell me one day, I will never bow before no man. I said, yes, you will. Only it's going to be a God man. You will bow before Jesus Christ. No, I won't. Yes, you will. Because the Bible says you will. Well, I want to ask you, how are you faring? Do you bow before him? Do you come, as Brother Hamlin taught us last Wednesday, to the feet of Jesus and bow at the feet of Jesus? I want to tell you, if you wasn't here Wednesday night, you missed one of the greatest blessings. See, you miss out on things when you don't come to church when you should. Brother Hamlin just preached a tremendous message for us. Left our hearts all helped and blessed. Coming to the feet of Jesus like Mary did. Whoa. You know, most of the time today, people don't want to even come and bow. I can't remember whether Brother Hamlin said it in his message or whether he said it to me, but he said, I worry about folk who never come to an altar. Said something wrong down in here. Something wrong down in here. Somewhere along the line, doesn't the Word of God get a hold of you? Are you so proud and lack humility that you were not even willing to bow yourself before the Son of God? Jesus is his name? Amen. Well, how about you? Have you ever confessed the fact that Jesus is the Son of God? And that you know you're an old rotten sinner and you need Christ to save your soul? Have you ever come to that place in your life where you understand you're lost, hopelessly lost without God? And Jesus is the only answer. See, the wonderful part about it is Jesus loves us so much. He'll save us. He'll save us even when we don't deserve it. And we don't deserve it. But he loves us so much. He came all the way from heaven and went to Calvary and died there for our sins. Was buried and rose again the third day for us. It's the greatest name that there can ever be, the name of Jesus. Go back with me to the book of Acts for just a moment or two. Book of Acts. The 10th chapter. It's where we started today, and I want to read verse number 10 again. Acts 4th chapter, 10th verse. Be it known unto you all, that's Acts 4:10, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. You know, I wasn't this man who was an impotent man, but I want to tell you the only reason I stand here whole today before God is because of Jesus, the Son of God. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve to stand behind a pulpit and preach. I don't deserve those things. But because of his marvelous grace and his goodness, he loves us and died for us. I want to tell you, it's only by the name of Jesus. It isn't anyone else. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's no one else but Jesus, the Son of God, who died for our sins. Look at verse 11. He says, and this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Jesus is the cornerstone of everything. He's the cornerstone of your salvation. And many people are missing it. They're stumbling all over it. Jesus, the wonderful Son of God, came and died for your sin and my sin. And many people will stumble all over it. They won't accept him. They'll go on day by day and year by year and even Christmas after Christmas and hear the word of God and just go on and not be saved. Stumbling over the head cornerstone. Listen to what he says. Verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, I love my children, and I love their names. I really do. I love their names because they're sweet to us. They're precious to us because we love them. But they don't have a name like the name of Jesus. You love your children. You appreciate them. You love your grandchildren. You love them, and you're glad you probably named them what you named them, and you appreciate all of that, but they don't have a name like the name of Jesus. Because through his name only can salvation come. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None whatsoever. The name of Jesus. I want you to listen to a verse of Scripture. You don't have to turn there. Listen to John 20, 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. The Word of God was written so you would believe that Jesus is the Christ. That means the anointed of God. And then it says, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's the anointed one that God the Father sent. He's the Son of God, God the Son. And listen to what it says. What for? And that believing you might have life. How? Through his name. The wonderful name of Jesus. I want to just share with you something today. There's no name like the name of Jesus. The world is doing everything it can to blot all that out. I want to tell you something. It's not a holiday. It's Christmas Day. It's about Christ. The world has tried to change that. They call it Happy Holidays. You know why they do that? So they won't remember Christ. It's Jesus, the Son of God, his name that counts. It's not Santa Claus. It's Jesus. That's what it's all about. Why? So you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you have eternal life through his name. Nothing like it in the world. What I'm saying to you this morning is this. Do you for sure know that you've put your faith and trust in Christ, Jesus, Christ, the Son of God, and you put your faith and trust in him in payment for your sin. That you was an old sinner and he died for you. You put your faith and trust in him that you might be saved. That's the only way of salvation. Now, folks, listen, don't play games with God. Don't do it. Don't play games with God. He knows your heart. He knows whether you're saved or not. No way in the world, if you're a saved person this morning, you can sit here and mock and laugh at the name of Jesus Christ. No way. It's the most wonderful name there ever has been, the name of Christ. And a person who's never put their faith and trust in Jesus needs to be saved, needs to be born again. Needs to come to Christ, and you can do that at the invitation that we're going to give in just a moment. You can come forward. There'll be people standing right down here. If you're a lady, we'll get some lady to help you. If you're a man, we'll get some man to go through the scripture with you. But you need to walk from this place knowing that you're a child of God, that you put your faith in the right place. I want to tell you why these people I told you about could do what they did. Their faith was in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. And they believed that the gospel must be promoted and preached. And they was not going to do anything to bring reproach to the name of Christ. They was going to give their life and not recant their faith. You know why? Because they was God's children. That's why. Simply because they was God's children. What does Christ mean to you today? Just take a checkup, Christians. Just a checkup. I'll do it too. I've already done it because I knew what I was preaching. What did you do this last week or the week before that or the week before that or the week before that or the week before that? What did you do for Jesus? No, I'm serious. What did you do for him? It would make a difference in people's lives so that they might be saved. Or has it been all about you? I would say this morning, if you're here without Christ, you need to come and let us take God's word and show you how to be saved. I would say as a Christian, and you're not living like you should live, and you're not giving yourself to Christ, you need to hit the altar this morning. You need to come. And you need to dedicate, not just for the sake of hitting the altar, but come up here and dedicate your life and say, God, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to go on this week like I did last week. I'm going to be different. I'm going to do something for God. Amen. Will you let God open your heart this morning? And will you just simply do what he says? Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Father, I've asked you already this morning to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work, to do what needs to be done in our lives this morning. And oh God, if there's anyone here unsaved, please, 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 Father, please help them to let the Holy Spirit of God deal with them. Help them, oh God, to be convicted of their sin and their need of Christ. They'll walk this aisle today and put their faith and trust in Jesus. And Lord, for we as Christians, oh God, help us to yield ourselves to you. There's people dying every day for your name. Help us to be willing to do that. In Jesus' name.